Welcome to the Shiur Ramban, Parshas Ekev. The end of Parshas Ekev, we find the second Parsha of Kriyat Shema, Parsha V'Hayoyim Shamoa, Parsha is familiar to us. And after that Parsha finishes, where the Torah describes that if we keep the mitzvot, we're going to be rewarded. If Chalila, we don't keep the mitzvot, we're going to be punished. So the Torah then tells us, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Chof Beis, if you observe all of these mitzvahs, all of this mitzvah, that which I command you today in order to perform it, namely to love Hashem your God, to walk in all of His ways, and to cling to Him, to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to stick to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In modern day Hebrew, devek is glue. So Rashi over here has a famous comment on the phrase ledov kabo, to stick, to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ef shalomar kein, asks Rashi, quoting from the Sifri, what do you mean to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In a literal sense, v'lo esh ochlohu. Kodesh Baruch Hu is described as a consuming fire. Elo hidovek b'talmidim uvachachamim. Rather, says Rashi, what the pasuk means is that you should cling to the chachamim, to their students. Umale ani alecha kilu nidbakto bo. And it's considered as if you've clung to me, HaKodesh Baruch Hu, directly. So in other words, essentially Rashi quotes from Chazal, the concept of clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu means clinging and sticking to Talmidei Chachamim, because to talk about clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the literal sense of the term certainly is something that we can't fathom. Interestingly enough, the Ramban, in his comments on this Pasuk, does not even reference this Rashi. Maybe he disagreed with Rashi, maybe he felt that it wasn't shot in the Pasuk. I think as we go through the Ramban, we'll see that on a certain level, the Ramban might have disagreed with the fundamental question, the way Rashi presents it. Again, Rashi's just quoting from Chazal. It's not Rashi's own question and answer. But the question, v'chi efshar lidavik b'shchina, is it possible to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the literal sense of the term? Well, obviously, it's not literally possible to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a body to cling to. But the Ramban is going to describe a concept of clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is far more literal than what Rashi describes over here. According to Rashi, basically, Ladov Kabo means hang out with Talmidei Chachamim, right? But we'll see the Ramban gives a very different answer. So Ramban starts off, again, as we said, not even quoting Rashi, but quoting the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra on this pasuk, on this phrase, has a very, very cryptic comment. Amar Rebbe Avram, Ibn Ezra writes, Ladov Kobo means basof, in the end. Vehu sod gadol. And says the Ibn Ezra, and this idea that you cling to Hashem in the end is a great secret. In other words, it's a very profound, perhaps even mystical idea, which the Torah is hinting at in this pasuk. So what does that mean? Basof, v'huso gadol. It gives you the impression that the Ibn Ezra was not paid by the word, right? In other words, it's such a terse expression. What on earth does he mean? In the end? And it's a great mystical secret. And comments on that, the Ramban, Ve'ena sod mitam hamoko mazeh. This secret doesn't really seem to be appropriate for this place. Also a cryptic remark by the Ramban. Right? Not exactly clear what he means. But then the Ramban suggests a possible explanation of the Ibn Ezra, which we'll come back to. Ula Yomar, says the Ramban, maybe what the Ibn Ezra means by this cryptic remark, that you'll cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the end, is that le'avos Hashem lo'leches b'chol d'rochav ad shetiyu re'uyim l'dov kobo basof. What the pasuk means, perhaps according to the Ibn Ezra, says the Ramban, is that the phrase ledov kobo, to cling to Hashem, is not a commandment, but rather a result. And in that way, the Ibn Ezra is different from Rashi. Rashi understands ledov kobo means, the pasuk is telling us, we have a commandment to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aye, how can you cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's not physically possible. Hidavik b'tamidei chachamim, so cling to tamidei chachamim. That's what the pasuk means. The Ibn Ezra understands, no, the pasuk is not talking about tamidei chachamim, but the whole sense of that phrase is that it's a result. La'avos Hashem Elokeichem, l'leches b'chol derachov. You are mandated to love Hashem, to walk in all of His ways. L'dov kabo, for the purpose, or for the end result, of clinging to Hashem. Meaning, if you do all of these things, you will end up clinging to Hashem. Now, that still begs the question a little bit, so what does that mean? That as a result, you will cling to Hashem? So that idea, the Ramban is going to come back to a little bit later on, and flesh that out a little bit more. But for the time being, the Ramban takes a third approach. The Ramban, at least at this point, seems to agree with Rashi that the mitzvah of ledov kobo, or that the phrase ledov kobo is not just a result, or is not a result, but rather it's a mitzvah, that we have an obligation to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in trying to answer the question, okay, so what does that mean? The Ramban turns our attention to a pasuk in Sefer Yehoshua, which he thinks can shed light on our pasuk here. Nemar b'Yehoshua, says in Yehoshua, Perichov Gimel, Psukim Zayin through Ches, the following. At that point in Sefer Yehoshua, Yehoshua is towards the end of his life, and he's sort of giving a farewell address to Klal Yisrael, sort of summarizing how they have to do the right thing. So Yehoshua says, Uvishem Eloheim lo sazkiru, now that you've come into Eretz Yisrael, don't mention the names, don't call out to the names of the gods of Canaan. V'lo tashbiu, v'lo savdum, right? Don't use them to swear by, don't worship them. V'lo sishtachavu lohem, don't bow down to them. Ki im ba'ashem elokeichem tidboku, ka'ashir asisim ad hayom hazeh. Instead of pledging allegiance in any way to the idolatrous gods of Canaan, instead, cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as you have done to this day. So clinging in that context, the way Yehoshua uses it, says the Ramban, seems to indicate, Im kein hi azhara me azhara avodah zarah. In context, it sounds like Yehoshua is saying, don't worship avodah zarah. Instead, cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Clinging to Hashem is the opposite of avodah zarah. What does that mean? Shlo tiporeid machshavto min Hashem el Elohim acherim. Religiously, you should be attached solely and without any other attachments to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not be connected to other gods at all. Shlo yachshov shiyeh b'avodah zarah shum ikar. The person should not think that Avodah Zarah has anything whatsoever, that there's any root to Avodah Zarah. Ela hakol efes va'ayin. There's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing else counts at all. Now to us, for whom Avodah Zarah isn't one of our big temptations, the statement that the Ramban is saying Yehoshua is making to Klal Yisrael, Rabosai, be very careful. Not only should you worship Hashem, but don't worship anything else at all, on a certain level doesn't seem to be remarkable. Okay, if I'm a good Jew and I serve Hashem, so obviously Avodah Zarah is out of the picture. But we only feel that way because we don't really have a Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. The Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah was taken away. And as we pointed out in other shiurim, throughout the entire Bayis Rishon period, when there was a Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, it was not a contradiction at all. I mean, theologically it's a contradiction, but it was not an unusual kind of phenomena to find a Jew who would serve Hashem but also serve various types of avodah zaras. The Jew could bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, and he could serve avodah zaras, and he wouldn't see it as a contradiction. And he might even have a justification for it, along the lines that the Rambam famously writes in the beginning of Helchos Avodas Kochavim, that people, how did avodah zaras start? Right, so the Rambam, people said, look, of course I serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the sun, the moon, the stars, they're servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why can't I serve the servant as an extension of my serving the master? Right? So there was this idea that it wasn't beyond people's comprehension to serve Hashem, but to worship Avodah Zarah as well. We might add that according to perhaps some Rishonim, certainly some Achronim, that type of attachment to Avodah Zarah is actually permissible to Bnei Noach. In other words, for a Jew, it's absolutely prohibited to connect oneself to any kind of deity other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But perhaps some Rishonim, and certainly some Achronim, hold that for a non-Jew, a Ben Noach is not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah, but for a Ben Noach, Shituf, the notion that I have an allegiance to Hashem, but also to other powers that I view as being subservient to Hashem. In other words, you know, I could worship, a person could worship the sun as the servant of Hashem. So perhaps for a Ben Noach, for a non-Jew, that's not considered to be Avodah Zarah. That's permissible. So comes Yeshua to Klal Yisrael and he says, you know, whether or not you paskin that that's okay for a non-Jew to be engaged in, to worship Hashem plus, for Hashem, you know, when it comes to a Jew, there's no plus. There's nothing else. Eino od milavado. You can't have anything besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, says the Ramban, is what Yeshua means when he says ledovka bo, to cling to Hashem. So in other words, our pasuk means that we are mandated when we come into Eretz Yisrael, avos Hashem Elokecha, to love Hashem, lelechas bedrachov, to follow His mitzvos, uledovka bo, and to serve Him exclusively. Now, Ladov Kabo is the idea of exclusivity, right? That we're only attached to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. V'nei zeh k'mo sh'omar od v'oso sa'avodu uvosid bakun. We find a similar lashon later on in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph, and next week's parashah Re'eh. Serve Hashem and cling to Him. And there in context, the explanation of the Ramban that dveikus b'Hashem means the idea of being exclusively attached to Hashem, to the exclusion of any types of avodah zarah, that makes total sense in that context. That context over there is talking about a Novi Sheker, a false prophet who tries to entice the people to worship other gods. So the Pasuk says, serve Hashem and cling to Him. In other words, serve Hashem and don't serve other gods, even if you want to serve those other gods, in addition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Botid Bokun. In other words, the mitzvah of serving Hashem is a mitzvah of exclusivity. So that's the pshat that the Ramban wants to say in this pasuk. Ledov Kobo means that we serve Hashem exclusively. Then he adds another pshat, and I think we'll see this pshat that he's adding, although he doesn't quite say it, is really, really built on his understanding of the Ibn Ezra. The Yitochen, perhaps, Shetichlol Hadveiko Lomar, Shetiye Zocher Hashem V'Havaso Tomid. Maybe the idea of clinging to Hashem does not mean that you have to, that the Pasuk is talking about worshiping Hashem exclusively, although that certainly is true, but that's not what's conveyed by Ladov Kobo. But rather it means that a person has to remember Hashem and his love for Hashem constantly. Lo tipared machshav tucha meimenu, belech tucha v'derechu v'shach v'chav kumecha. Your thought should not depart from being attached to Hashem, whatever you're doing, when you're walking, when you're getting up, when you're going to bed. Ad shiyiyu dvarav im b'nei adam b'fivu l'shono, v'libo enenu imohem aval hu lifnei Hashem. The goal of dveikus, of clinging to Hashem, is that a person should be so attached to Hashem mentally that he can be carrying on a conversation with other people, but somehow manage mentally and spiritually to still be thinking about Hashem in some part of his mind. The Ramban doesn't quote the Rambam over here, but the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim describes this quality as being the quality of the Avos HaKadoshim. Right, that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were able to interact with people. They seemed like normal people. They carried on normal conversations. But as much as they were interacting with people in a seemingly normal kind of way, they achieved the kind of spiritual level that they were always able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever they happened, you know, to be doing in a this worldly sense. So that's Ladov Kobo. V'yitochen, and it's possible, v'anshei hamaylo hazos, that people who achieve this level, shetiyeh nafshom gam v'chayehem tsrura b'tsror hachayim. People who achieve this level, in the ultimate sense, in other words, they cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a constant way, their thoughts, their focus is constantly connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person really achieves this in the ultimate sense, his soul, even during his lifetime, is bound up in the bond of everlasting life. Now, let's just focus on that phrase for a moment. Tzura b'tzura chayim. So you ask the average shulgoer, where does that phrase come from? So the person will tell you, even if they're not particularly morbid, it's from the Kelmale, right? Right? That the person's soul should be bound up in the bond of everlasting life. What many people don't realize is that even before it was a phrase in the Kelmale, it's a phrase in Sefer Shmuel. That phrase that talks about a person after he passes away having his neshama bound up in the bond of everlasting life is a phrase that appears originally in Sefer Shmuel, and when they wrote the Kelmale Rachamim, probably after the time of the Crusades, so they incorporated that phrase from the Tanakh, from Sefer Shmuel, into the Kelmale. So here, the Ramban uses this idea that a person who's alive can also have his soul bound up in the bond of everlasting life. Usually, the way the Pasuk uses it in the Shmuel, the way we use it in a Kelmale Rachamim, usually the bar for admission into a Kelmale Rachamim is that the person has to be dead. If they go over to the Gaboyim and ask somebody to make a Kelmale for someone who's still alive, you know, so that would probably spark a little bit of a hullabaloo. You know, usually you have to be dead in order to be mentioned in a Kelmale. But here the Ramban is using the phrase in a very, very curious kind of way. A person who's able to constantly be focused on and thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu can achieve a certain spiritual level where even while alive, their soul is bound up in the bond of everlasting life. Kihem ba'atzman ma'on la'shchina, because such a person himself becomes a dwelling place for the Shechina, kasher ramaz bal sefer akuzari. As Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, the author of the Kuzari, hints at in his Sefer, ukvar hiskarti mizeh b'parshas ha'arayos, and I myself discussed this idea, says the Ramban, in my comments to the Parsha of the Arayos and Parshas Acharemos. These are some very cryptic phrases in the Ramban. What on earth is he talking about over here? That a person could be alive and yet have his soul bound up in the bond of everlasting life. So it's interesting that he mentions the Kuzari. I didn't do a systematic study, but you don't get the impression that the Ramban quotes the Kuzari very, very much, but certainly you see that he was familiar with it. The Kuzari had lived about 200 years or so before the Ramban. So in the beginning of the Sefer HaKuzari is divided up into five different essays. In the beginning of the third essay, so the Rav is talking to the King of the Khazars about what the ideal Oved Hashem is. What's the picture that we have of a person who serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Rav writes, Minag HaOved Etzlenu Eino Nigzar Min HaOlam. A true Eved Hashem, a true servant of Hashem by Jewish people, is not someone who's cut off from the world. No, a person who's who's a true Eved Hashem, is Oev HaOlam. He loves the world. Ve'arichus Hayomim, and he wants to live in this world. V'mneishu makne oso olam haba, because the longer a person is in this world, if he plays his cards properly, if he does what he's supposed to do, the longevity you have in this world gives you more opportunities to acquire reward for olam haba, for the next world. So, a good Jew doesn't want to cut himself off from this world. However, continues the Rav, ach hu misaveze, there's one example, or one type, of a person who's an Eved Hashem, who serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who in fact does remove himself from this world. It's not the standard prototype, but there is such a prototype of an Eved Hashem. One such prototype is Chanoch, who's mentioned in the very beginning of Bereishis, Vayishalei Chanoch Eso Elokim. Chanoch walked with God and then he was taken away. Or another example of such a person is Eliyahu Anavi Zocher Latov, where Eliyahu Anavi, who again we know never died, just was sort of whisked away. Such people, Lehiponos Ad Sheyisyachid L'Cheves HaMalachim, such people actually do remove themselves from this world, to a point where they feel more comfortable with malachim than they do with people. And even if such a person had to be alone, they had to go into quarantine or something like that, they're not bothered by it, because their natural social circle is the social circle of the malachim. Avolheim sivto. The malachim are this person's society. So the malachim are always with you. So this person, you could stick him in a cave for years and years and years. It won't bother him. He doesn't feel the lack of being part of society, because his society is the society of the malachim. Such people, unusually, says the Kuzari, are able to live a life connected to the spirit even while they're alive. And as such, for such a person, either death isn't really possible in the case of Eliyahu, right, where he's already living a spiritual life even before he disappears and goes into a more spiritual existence. Or it sounds like in the case of Chanoch, such a person yearns for the day on which they can be removed from this world, because they'll cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the fullest sense of the term. The Rav in the Sefer HaKuzari then goes on to say that, you know, these kinds of people don't exist in our own day anymore. They were, you know, few in number, even in the times when there was a Beis HaMikdash, when there was Nevuah, but certainly in our own day and age, the Rav says to the King of the Khazars, you know, this isn't really a prototype that we have anymore, but you should know, once upon a time, there was a prototype of people who, through their intense connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, were actually somewhat removed from this world, even while they were alive. The Ramban, in his comments in Acharei Mos, also references this idea of Eliyahu HaNavi being such a person. Again, if we look at that Ramban in Acharei Mos, it's Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Dalet. He says, at the end of Pasuk Dalet, he says, Ha'ozvim kolin yonei ha'olam hazeh, ve'eino mashgichim olav. There are people who abandon anything that is this worldly, and they just don't pay attention to it at all. Ki'ilu einom balei guf, as if they don't have a body. V'chol machshavto mekavonoso beboram bilvod, and everything they're thinking about and focusing on is only about Hashem. Kasher hoya ha'inyin be'eliyahu, right, as it was with Eliyahu, bidavik nafshon b'shem anichbod, as they clung to the name of Hashem, yichyu la'ad begufam uvenafshon. Such people who are able, even during their lifetimes, to cling to Hashem absolutely, will live forever in body and in spirit. Kinire bakosuv be'Eliyahu, as we find in the Tanakh itself with regard to Eliyahu. Kayodua mimeno b'kabbalah, as we have a tradition about Eliyahu living forever. As we have with regard to the Midrash with Chanoch as well. So here the Ramban also references the same Chanoch and Eliyahu that are referenced by the Sefer HaKuzari. But I think there's a fundamental difference between the presentation of the Kuzari and the presentation of the Ramban. As we mentioned a moment ago, the Kuzari cites these examples of Chanoch and Eliyahu, people who are able to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a way that they either live forever or are whisked off, you know, before their time to cling to Hashem. And then the Kuzari goes on to say, but you know, that doesn't really happen anymore. In our own day and age, we don't have that. The Ramban describes such a phenomenon. He does not limit it in time in any way. There is no statement in the Ramban, that was then, this is now. You know, yeah, people used to be like that, but we don't have that anymore. The Ramban does not qualify his remarks in any which way. And if anything, the Ramban implies that this madrega of Eliyahu and Chanoch is attainable throughout all of history. He implies that it's attainable throughout history. Why? Because the Ramban is saying that this is the pasuk. This is our pasuk. La'avos Hashem Elokeichem. Right? Your goal is to love Hashem your God. L'leches b'chol derachov, to walk in His paths. U'ledav kabo. The mandate of this pasuk is to achieve devekus, clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu mean according to this passage in the Ramban? It means achieving this unusual state like Eliyahu and Chanoch. That's ultimately where a person can get to. Let's bring this back to the Ibn Ezra, the very terse remarks of the Ibn Ezra at the beginning of our discussion. The Ibn Ezra said that the phrase Ledov Kobo, Hu Basof, that's what you have in the end, for Hu Sod Godo. And this is a deep mystical concept, an unusual kind of sod, an unusual kind of mystery which is contained here in the Pasuk. It would seem that the Ramban is really just fleshing out what this Ibn Ezra means. What does he mean? Hu Basof. If you really love Hashem and walk in His ways, what you can aspire to ultimately is this level of Devekus associated with Eliyahu and Chanoch. Not just you who lived in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, but you who lived throughout history. This pasuk is talking to Jews, you know, throughout the generations. Anyone, ultimately, who loves Hashem and walks in His paths, Ledov Kabo, can achieve this level of Eliyahu and Chanoch. Now again, it's not the thing that the average person is going to be able to achieve. But it's not, in a sense, it's very similar to what the author of Mesillas Yesharim promises in Mesillas Yesharim. We know that the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, famously wrote the Mesillas Yesharim. So every yeshiva guy learns Mesillas Yesharim and it tries to make the person to a better person. What's the goal of Mesillas Yesharim? So the Ramchal writes, if you follow all of the steps that I laid out for you in Mesillas Yesharim, you'll achieve Gili Eliyahu. You'll achieve the revelation of Eliyahu HaNavi. I don't know how many guys learning Mesillas Yesharim for half an hour before Ma'ariv and Yeshiva have achieved Gili Eliyahu. Maybe more have and they just don't talk about it. The average person learns Mesillas Yesharim and is inspired by it, and he reads the last couple of pages like, okay, you know, that's for other people. So that's probably true over here as well. But the Ramban is saying that ultimately this concept of Ledov Kabo, of achieving a level of Eliyahu and Chanoch, is something which is open to people even nowadays, not like the Kuzari. But again, the Ramban, and I think the Ramban is just expounding on what the Ibn Ezra ultimately is saying that this is something which is a goal which is achievable even, you know, in today's day and age. Just we'll note one thing before we close, just an interesting biographical issue. There seems historically to have been a family relationship between the author of the Kuzari and Reb Avraham ibn Ezra. It's not clear exactly what the nature of the family relationship was. There are stories that the Ibn Ezra was the son-in-law of the Kuzari. There are other stories that indicate it was a somewhat more distant relationship. But it is interesting to note how both the Kuzari and the way the Ramban is explained, the Ibn Ezra, both focus on this idea of a person who's able to achieve absolute dveikus. But whereas the Kuzari limits it to previous generations, the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban seem to feel that it's something which can be achieved even bizman hazeh.